Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry that's here to encourage and inspire you every day. And today, we're continuing our series called Awesome Relationships. In it, Rick Warren shares practical ways to help you take your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and even God from ordinary to extraordinary. And this is a series you don't want to miss. Now let's get over to Rick for the final part of a message called Fighting for an Awesome Family.
Families are meant to be a raincoat in the storms of life, okay? Write this down. Awesome families protect each other. Awesome families protect each other. Because in a storm, you need support. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says this. Two are better than one. And if one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, it's just too bad. It's just too bad because there's no one there to help him up. In the storms of life, you need other people to help you get through that tough time. Sometimes a child is going through a storm. Sometimes mom is going through a storm. Sometimes dad is going through a storm. And no matter which of our family members going through the storm, we have to help each other. We protect each other. Families stick together. Families are a raincoat. I asked the kids, why do you love your family so much? And I'll give you the number one answer in a minute, but watch some of the answers that they gave.
Because they're always so nice to me.
Because I love them.
Because they do my favorite things.
Because they're my family, that's why.
Because they're very nice.
Because they're really fun and I love to hang out with them.
I like that I have a mom and dad like them.
You like having a mom and dad?
Yeah, like them.
I'm so much.
Because they're wonderful.
Are they super wonderful?
Yes,
because they're really funny and weird.
They're always so kind and generous, and they always think of me.
I love my family because they're always looking out for me.
They are so faithful to me and kind to me and always understand me.
They are super kind to me. They take care of me, and they just are wonderful.
I don't know.
You just love them? You think they're lovable?
Uh-huh.
Why do kids love their families? The number one answer, I mean, I heard it hundreds of times on Friday night, is it said, because they take care of me. I love my family because they take care of me. And kids instinctively know, I couldn't take care of myself. I have to have a family to take care of me. We talked about last week, the most vulnerable people in the world are orphans. Kids need to be cared for. Particularly in the storms of life. Now, let me give you three storms, write these down, that we need to care for each other in our family. And anybody can go through these storms. Mom can go through these storms. Dad can go. Number one is change. Change is a storm in life. It's like a big bump in the road. You're just going down the road smoothly, and all of a sudden a major change happens. Boom, and it throws your car out of line. And change can be upsetting, particularly to kids. Kids don't like change. It's a storm of life. And we need a family to be around them when there's a major or even a minor change. Now, if I'm driving down the road and I hit a pothole, it throws my wheels completely out of alignment. And I have to take my car in to get it realigned because of the change I just went through. I highly recommend you get counseling when you've gone through a major change in life. Counseling is a good thing. It's not a shameful thing. It's not a bad thing. And it's a good investment in your family. When you've gone through a major change, it's good to get some advice from the outside. You're not a freak. You're not a nut. You're just getting coaching. Any person who's smart gets coaching. Every professional singer has a vocal coach. They don't just depend on their talent. They've got a vocal coach. Every professional athlete has a personal coach. And if you are a CEO of one of the biggest corporations in the world, you've got an executive coach. You got somebody on the outside who's giving you counsel. Sometimes you need a family coach, I highly recommend when you go through the changes of life and you hit a bump, go get some counsel. Get a third perspective to help you work through that change. Another storm of life, what I call harmful ideas. Harmful ideas. All around, our little kids are being bombarded with harmful ideas. By the time a child gets to be 18 years old, they have amassed 18,000 hours of television viewing, and they have seen thousands and thousands of murders by the time they're 18 years old. And if they're playing video games, it's tens of thousands of murders. And they've seen sex portrayed in the wrong way. They've seen life portrayed in the wrong way. They've been given all kinds of violent, harmful, and hurtful ideas. Many children, listen to me, many children are provided for, but they are not protected. They're letting their kids go to movies they have no business going to see, watch TV shows they have no business watching, read books and listen to music and follow celebrities they have no business of following. And the kids, you could be a parent and you've got a perfectly balanced, gluten-free, nutritional, organic, you're feeding your kids the best food in the world for their body and you're letting their mind feed on junk. And their little minds are like an open railroad. And they go, well, I don't make choices for my kids. Well, then you're not a parent. You're not a parent. Parents protect kids in the storms of life. And one of the storms is all the vulgar, vain, vile things on this planet that are out there in movies, books, songs, radio, television, books, and everything else. And we let our little kids' mind be like a freeway, and garbage truck after garbage truck is going into your kid's mind and dumping it. That's bad parenting. Parents protect. If you protect your kid's health, you need to protect their mental health too. Third storm is rejection. And this is the storm all of us face at some point in life. And it's the most painful storm of all, when we feel betrayed or when we feel rejected. And when your children are rejected, or when your husband or your wife feel rejection at work, the family needs to rally around and be there as a raincoat in the storms of life. I'll never forget many years ago when my oldest, Amy, was in high school. And she tried out to be a cheerleader or a song leader. And every little girl wants to be a cheerleader or a song leader or whatever. And she went and she went and went to practice. And her friends got accepted. And she got rejected because they said she was, quote, too large. And it broke her heart. And she came home and she ran into her room and she went into her closet and sat down on the ground and burst into tears. And every one of us in our family could hear Amy crying. And one by one, all on her own, we ended up walking into a room, sitting down on the floor in her closet with her and crying with her. And here was a family of five sitting on the ground, just crying with our daughter. We didn't give her any advice. She didn't need advice. We didn't say, now, don't worry, it's not a big deal. It was a big deal. We didn't say, don't cry. That's a stupid thing to say to somebody who's grieving. No, we cried with her. And we all just sat there, and for about 30, 40 minutes, we just cried with her. Our family will never forget that incident. Why? Because at that point, we were being a raincoat. We were being a storm catcher. We were being a protector. Somebody in our family had been hurt, and we weren't demeaning it. We weren't trying to talk her out of it. We weren't trying to say, cheer up. It won't matter. You're not going to care about this in 5 years. No. We just wept. The Bible says, weep with those who weep. That's what it means. Awesome families protect each other in a storm. And by the way, sometimes it's not just the kids who need protection. Sometimes dad's going through a tough time. Sometimes mom's going through a tough time. And everybody rallies around and puts the raincoat on them. And sometimes it's grandma or grandpa who need protection. And the roles reverse. Psalm 71, look here on the screen, verse 9 says this. And now in my old age, don't set me aside. Don't abandon me when my strength is failing. Many of you are moving into this stage of life. Your kids have moved out. Maybe some have moved back in. But at the same time, your parents now need your care, and the roles have reversed. There was a time when they wiped your nose, and now there's a time you need to wipe their nose. That's called family. Families are for life. And you don't just abandon somebody because they, quote, aren't useful, according to society. Every life is valuable, and God is watching. And the Bible says, a guy who won't take care of his own family is worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. That's what it says. It says in the book of James. If I don't take care, you know, when Kay's dad died, right before he died, I went to him, and he was dying of cancer, and I said, Bert, I want you to know that I will assume responsibility to care for your wife as long as she is alive. And I will accept that responsibility gladly. And I have. And I have cared for Kay's mom ever since her husband died. Why? That's what families do. That's what families do. Number four, what makes an awesome family? Awesome families are playful. Awesome families encourage growth. Awesome families protect each other. And the fourth one is real important, and I want to show you a symbol for it. And this is what makes a difference between average and awesome families is a globe. Now, how in the world does this represent an awesome family? Because awesome families don't just care about themselves. They care about others, and they actually care about the whole world. You see, anybody can care only about their own family. In fact, that's very easy to be selfish. It's us four and no more. And I'm a dad and I'm pouring all my energy into my wife and my kids and everybody else, forget you, then you're never gonna have an awesome family. Because awesome families don't just focus on themselves. They focus on others. Average families are self-centered. Average families only care about us. I care about my kid in Little League. I don't care about the kids who don't have a dad. I care about my family. I don't care about anybody else. I'm investing my entire time in this family. Then you're never gonna have an awesome family. You're gonna have an average family because the average family only cares about itself. This is the secret that moves you from average to awesome, is you begin to care about more than just your own family. Write this down. Number four, awesome families serve God and others. Actually, we serve God by serving others. It's the way you serve God is by serving others. And awesome families teach their kids it's not about you. You're not the center of the universe. Awesome families teach their kids you were made by God for a mission. Awesome families teach their kids you were shaped to serve God. I am the man that I am today, first of all, because of my parents. And my parents instilled in me certain values to care about other people. You know my signature Rick Warren hug? Where do you think I learned that? Not in school. I learned it from watching my parents. My parents were very, very poor. They didn't have any money at all. They served the Lord, they loved the Lord, but they were poor. And they both had the gift of hospitality. And they both loved to give to others, even though they were very poor. So we lived out in the country, and my dad would plant 3/4 of an acre to a full acre in garden, all kinds of vegetables. There was no way we could personally eat all that food, but he did it just so he could give it away because he didn't have any money to give away. So we always planted more, and then we gave it away to help other people who were in need. And my mother had the gift of hospitality. And she said, we will treat everybody with respect. And so our home was constantly filled with other people. If people were in pain, they were at our house. They were spending the night at our house. If they were on the road, they were at our house. If they were going through a conflict, they were at our house. If they were a well-known Christian leader coming through town, they were at our house. Growing up, when I would go to bed each night, I would never know who was going to be at the breakfast table the next morning. because somebody would likely come in, spend the night at our place, and I would get to see them. And as a result, I was exposed to all kinds of great Christian leaders because my family had them in their home. Some of you, when we do our conferences for pastors, you invite pastors who are coming here from all around the world to stay in your home. That's a good thing for you. It's a good thing for the pastor, but it's a really good thing for your kids to be exposed to Christian leaders from around the world. One day, my dad decided to keep a record of how many meals my mom had cooked for guests in our home in 1 year, in just 1 year. And when he added it up, it was over 1,000 guest meals that my mom had cooked in just 1 year. And it was in that attitude of give your life away, I grew up. And I learned to realize it's not about me. It's about helping other people. The Bible says this, Hebrews 10:24. Let us think about each other, not just ourselves. And let us help each other to show love and to do good deeds. That's what awesome families do. We teach each other to show love and we teach each other to do good deeds. Good deeds are called ministry. They're called service. A good example of this is a family in the book of Acts, Cornelius. Acts 10:2 says he, Cornelius, and all his family were devout and God-fearing. I want that to be said about your family. Your family is devout and God-fearing. And they gave generously to those in need. And they prayed to God regularly. What a great legacy. Wouldn't you like to have people writing that about you? And 2,000 years from today, they're saying that your family was devout and God-fearing. You gave generously to those in need and you prayed to God regularly. What a testimony. What an awesome. See, awesome families model dedication, model service, model generosity, and model prayer. That's what awesome families do. Average families don't do those things. Awesome families do. By the way, are you modeling generosity for your kids? Are you teaching your kids to be selfish or unselfish? If they see you giving, then they're gonna become givers. If they see you being generous, they're gonna be generous. When my kids were little, I gave them each of them 3 piggy banks. And in their allowance, if they got 30 cents, it was divided a dime, a dime, a dime. 10 cents for giving, 10 cents for saving, and 10 cents for spending. And then when their allowance went to a dollar, it's a dollar goes into saving, a dollar goes into spending, and a dollar goes into giving. And I was teaching my kids that you don't spend everything you get. Did you learn that growing up? Obviously, most Americans didn't, because most Americans are spending more than they get. They're in debt. They're in hock. Their credit cards are max limits because nobody taught them as a kid, you don't spend everything you get. You put some of it in savings. You put some of it in giving to the Lord and other people, and then some of it you get spent. Now, I realize that was a 33% tithe, but that's okay with the kids. And they learn, and my kids learned generosity. When we built this building, my kids took on little jobs to make money. My 2 sons, Josh and Matthew, gave their baseball card collections, including a Ken Griffey rookie card, and that their cards brought in like $550. They gave that to build this building. You think they regret it? Of course not. Of course not. So they learn generosity. You must teach them generosity by modeling it. And teach your kids, like, if they have a birthday party and today they're getting so many gifts, maybe they decide 2 things that they already have that because they're getting these new gifts, they should give those to somebody else and share the gifts that they've already got. Now some with somebody else, toys. Learn that. And when you're driving down the street and you see a homeless person standing on the corner with a sign that says, "We'll work for food," you have a teachable moment for those kids in the back seat. What do we do about people who have less than we have? Do we just ignore them, look the other way, and drive past them? Or I would highly recommend, I've seen Kay do this, I can't tell you how many times, roll down the window and then say, "What's your name?" In other words, first, you identify them as an individual. They're not a charity case. They're a human being. And they deserve dignity and they deserve respect. They're just out of work. They don't have any money. It's not like they're a non-human. What's your name? If you want to do more than that, go out and buy some gift cards. Get some McDonald's or Starbucks gift card. If you say, I don't want to give money because I might use it for drugs, well, they might. You don't know. But if you give them a gift card, you can have those stacked up right there. You can just open the window. And guess what? You are modeling for the kids in the back seat. We help people. We don't just bypass people in pain. We're teaching them the value of charity with it, service to God and others. What I'm saying is this. Awesome families are not perfect families, but they are intentional. They become awesome by choice. And you're not an awesome family by accident. You become an awesome family by making choices, making decisions, making commitments, and even making sacrifices. And my challenge you today is to say, you know what? No matter what stage I am in my family's life, I'm going to make the rest of it the best of it. And we're going to become an awesome family for whatever remaining days we've got in it. We're going to become an awesome family, and we're going to start a new legacy, and we're going to leave a legacy. And it begins by making a choice to commit your family to God, to Jesus Christ. The Bible says this in Joshua 24, the last verse on your outline. Choose today whom you will serve. You're going to serve yourself. You're going to serve society. You're going to serve values. Choose money. You're going to serve money. Choose today whom you will serve. Joshua said, but as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Okay? I don't care what other families do. Me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And until you make that decision, dad, husband, mom, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. It's not going to be an awesome family. It's going to be an average family. Let's bow for prayer. If you've never given your life to Christ, that's the starting point. If you've never given your family to Christ, that's the starting point. Would you pray this prayer in your heart? Dear Jesus Christ, I want to live an awesome life, and I want to have an awesome family. And I know I won't have either if I just live for myself. So today, I give myself to you. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I want my family to be a place of play and fun, not just work and negativity. I want my family to be a place where we encourage each other to grow constantly. Thank you for a church that helps our family grow. I want to be a family that is a shelter in a storm, a safe haven, a safe place, a refuge. Help me to protect my family, not just their bodies, but also their minds. And I want my family to serve you by serving others. Help us to find our family mission, our family purpose, what you shaped our family to do. Help me to teach my kids to be generous by modeling generosity to God and to others. Help me to have a bifocal vision to not just care about my family, but to teach my kids, my wife, my husband, and all of us to care about the whole world. And may we model dedication and service and generosity and prayer. I can't do this on my own, Lord. So I ask you to come into my life and take complete control of every area of me and give me the power to do the right thing. In your name I pray. Amen. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
Wow, some powerful words from Pastor Rick today. And now this is really one of my favorite parts of the broadcast. This is letters from our listeners. And now here's Rick.
Let me ask you a very personal question. Are you struggling in one of your personal relationships? If you are, I want you to listen to what Joe writes. He just sent this note to me. He said, Pastor Rick, before my wife and I began listening to Daily Hope together, we'd argue about our faith. There'd be days that I'd be angry with my wife, thinking that she wasn't moving as fast in her walk as I thought she should be moving. And God really challenged me to trust him in helping her grow by changing me first. You got it. You got it, Joe. He says, he broke my heart and my attitude by allowing me to figure out what I needed to do to stop arguing with her. And then he added, God also challenged me by showing me how much he believed in me through my wife. When I'd get angry, she'd show me grace and patience. These are the very things that I lacked. But I didn't see it until after we started listening to Daily Hope on a regular basis. We've since made it a point to share this time in God's Word and to continue to grow in our love for Jesus and each other. Isn't it amazing what God can do even in the most difficult of circumstances and even in relationships that seem beyond repair? I want you to notice that in Joe's story, God started the transformation with Joe. Joe wanted to change his wife. And Joe wanted God to change his wife. But God wanted Joe to change first in his own life. That's the way God works. I'm so glad that God is using Daily Hope to change lives. And if he's changed your life, would you tell me about it? Please just write me, email me, rick@pastorrick.com. Please do that today. Just email me a note that says, here's what's happening in my life. Here's what I need you to pray about. Here's something I'm rejoicing with. If you've got something to share, let me know about it. Write me, rick@pastorrick.com. And thanks for listening today. And all this week, let's let God transform our lives through his word.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.